You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the My Senior Horse Podcast. This is where people who own, manage, and love senior horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules can come to share our passion and to learn more about caring for our senior equids. In this episode, we're going to talk about senior horse exercise with Dr. Sue Dyson. I'm your host, Kim Brown, contract editor for My Senior Horse. We launched the global My Senior Horse brand in partnership with Linda Mars and Mars Horse Care in mid-2024. We offer many ways to get information on older equids, including this bi-weekly podcast, articles on the MySeniorHorse.com website, videos, and so much more to come. Make sure and visit our website. Dr. Dyson is a veterinarian with a PhD and a diploma in equine orthopedics. She has researched many aspects of horse lameness and equine pain expression. Since 2019, she has worked as an independent consultant, combining her horsemanship skills with her veterinary experience in order to maximize performance potential in all equines. Dr. Dyson provides not only clinical services, she works to bring clinically relevant research and education to the industry. We are thrilled that Dr. Dyson is a member of the My Senior Horse Editorial Advisory Group. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Dyson.
It's a very real pleasure.
So today we're going to talk about exercise in senior horses, and that is a huge topic, but we're going to tackle a few points that might help you better understand exercise in senior horses. We know there are seniors competing in the Olympics, and there are many seniors that are just pasture pets. So my first question is, how does an owner know how much exercise a senior needs?
Well, I think that's a very individual thing, because there are some senior horses who are experiencing chronic discomfort, and therefore it would not be appropriate to be forcibly exercising those horses. But nonetheless, free access to pasture, I think, is fundamentally very important. Free access to their friends as well. Friends, forage, and freedom being absolutely prerequisites for a happy life for horses. But there are going to be many older horses who are quite capable of being physically exercised, doing both groundwork and interacting with humans to their mutual benefit, and also being ridden. And I'm a great believer that if the horse is capable of being ridden and is willing to be ridden and goes forward freely, then there's no reason why it shouldn't be ridden. And it needs to be exercising regularly and in a really reasonably consistent way, so that one's not thinking about riding it for 1.5 hours today and then not again until 2 weeks' time and then 3 hours. That's not very appropriate. Little and often is better, and so that the horse is kept as mobile as possible. But I think we have to think about its comfort. And there are some senior horses who are on the stiff side, and they may benefit from the appropriate judicious use of pain relieving medication, which I don't think is contraindicated, because if it makes them more comfortable, they're going to move in a better movement pattern, and it's going to make it easier for them, and they're going to enjoy it more, and they're going to be more comfortable for the rider as well. So it's a win-win situation as far as I'm concerned. Now, if the horse had a soft tissue injury, then it wouldn't be appropriate to be using a pain relieving drugs in order to enable them to be exercised. But if they've got a chronic low-grade stiffness, there's absolutely no reason why they should not be receiving pain relief in appropriate amounts. But I do think we need to think about the terrain on which these horses are going to work and the footing. And I do think that continual work in circles on an arena is far from ideal, because that is biomechanically quite stressful. But hacking around the countryside and perhaps even doing some little jumps, I think there's nothing wrong with that, as long as the horse is capable of doing it. And if it's not willing, or it starts to show behaviours that express discomfort, so it starts to put its ears back, swish its tail, open its mouth, and perhaps be not very willing to go forwards or spooking repeatedly, those are all potential signs that it's feeling uncomfortable. And then we need to be thinking again what we're doing with the horse. But even that horse may, if we maybe reduce the amount of work and we just focus on groundwork, the horse may be very content doing that and benefit from those mobilization exercises and the interaction with human beings. Because I do think that horses benefit from not just having interactions with their conspecifics, with their fellow horses, but also with us as well. And I always think we need to be thinking not only about their physical well-being, but also their mental well-being. And all of this goes along with being turned out. The more they're out and moving, the more they've got their heads down to graze, that's all hugely beneficial for the horse. And obviously, we're going to pay attention to the basics of trimming and shoeing and correct saddle fit. And we need to be thinking also about warm-up, in that the horse may start a bit stiff, but let's think about walking for the first 10 to 15 minutes, and then perhaps cantering in a light position, so in a two-point position, before coming back to trot. Because often after canter, stiff horses move more freely. And I find that works very well with some of the older horses. And I think it's worth keeping a diary so that you know how your horse is performing. And that will tend to, if you're doing that on a regular basis, you will notice trends. And if you start to see the horse is showing more abnormal behaviours, or if he comes out stiffer, then maybe you need to ask for professional advice, and certainly back off until you've had that professional advice. But that keeping a diary enables you more objectively to be monitoring the horse. It's something we do with professional riders, and I see no reason why we shouldn't be doing it with the older horses. And it engages the rider as well, makes them think more and makes them potentially more observant. And I think that's always important, that the rider is paying attention to the way in which the horse is communicating with us, because they are inherently very compliant animals, and they probably are too compliant for their own good at times. So we have to pay attention to little signals that may indicate to us that the horse is less comfortable. So if the horse was previously standing absolutely still whilst it's being tacked up, and then it becomes more fidgety and perhaps turns its head towards the girth when you are tightening the girth, that those little signs are indicative that something's not right. This horse is anticipating discomfort to come, and we need to pay attention to that.
Yeah, and for our audience, we have some great articles we've worked with Dr. Dyson on that are on My Senior Horse, and I will make sure and include them in the further reading, because some of the things she's talked about, she's gone more in depth in these other articles. So I want to make sure you don't miss those, because they're great tips, I'm going to say. So I just want to start out by, you know, we talked about this. This exercise is not based on age. It's based on the individual horse. How do we maybe make our checklist in our diary of, you know, if we're going to go out there and start this, because yeah, I have several older horses. So if I'm going to go out and start, what am I going to try and notice and write down? What should I be observing?
First of all, I think you just need to look at the general demeanor of the horse. Does it, when you bring it in from the field, for example, and put it in the stable, does it then engage with you spontaneously, or does it go and turn to the back of the stable and look miserable? And that's an important aspect, the general demeanor of the horse. But if the horse is engaging with you, is alert in its eye expression, it's following what's going on around it, then those are all very positive signs. And then when you're grooming the horse, does the horse stand still, or does the horse start to swish its tail and put its ears back, maybe threaten to bite? Those are signs that something's not right. A normal horse doesn't do that. People talk about ticklish horses, but generally those behaviours are a manifestation of something not being right. And then you need to observe the horse's behaviour during tacking up. And again, the normal horse should stand still. It shouldn't put its head up out of your reach when you want to put the bridle on. It shouldn't continually chomp on the bit once you put the bit in the mouth. It shouldn't evade noseband tightening, because all of those behaviours are not normal behaviours. And I'm going to assume that your senior horse is adequately trained to stand by the mounting block. And if it doesn't want to stand by the mounting block, there has to be a reason. So when the horse is not doing things that we want it to do, we always have to be questioning why, because there's always a reason. And I think that many horse owners have been exposed to a large proportion of horses who have some discomfort. And so we have normalized abnormal behavior. And I think it's really important that we recognize what is normal and what isn't normal. And we recognize changes in an individual horse's behavior. And don't compare your horse with another abnormal horse and say, well, they're all the same, because that's not appropriate.
Mars Equestrian, a sponsorship division of Mars Incorporated, is dedicated to highlighting the Mars brands, such as Buckeye Nutrition, Spillers, Antec Diagnostics, Sound Imaging, Royal Canin, Pedigree, Nutro, and many more in the equestrian world. Whether it's through nutrition, veterinary care, or education, our purpose is to create a better world for horses, pets, and the people who love them.
I love what you said before, is to reach out if you have a question, because I remember we had some friends of ours that lived in Wyoming had raised Arabs for decades and had this beautiful gray Arab mare that had just been there, done that, and wanted my younger daughter to have it, to live in Kentucky, where it was a little friendlier in the winter. And the mare and my daughter, they just hit it off. They were great companions. But she got, and I'm not even going to call it ticklish, she was uncomfortable when you groomed her her left side. And it was not normal behavior for her, because she loved being fooled with. And so we immediately asked our veterinarian, who was just a lovely lady and never made us feel stupid. She was, so please talk to your veterinarians, you know, make sure you use them. And we started doing some examination and tests and found out she had an internal melanoma carcinoma. I can't remember the proper terminology, but turned out it was the size of a basketball by the time we discovered it in this gray Arab mare, which shouldn't have, you know, surprised us. But, you know, we were able to do other things and let her live out a very nice, pleasant life until, you know, it was time for her to cross the rainbow bridge. But yes, please talk to your experts around to ask.
Yeah, that's hugely important, I think. Don't necessarily ask the person who's got their horse in the next door stable, because they don't necessarily have the right advice for you. Do make sure you approach a professional person.
Exactly. And there's a lot of those around. We also mentioned some physical reasons. Of course, arthritis, you know, the older horses, just like us, can be a little slow to grow in. But overweight and underweight horses also can have some issues with trying to exercise, because either their tack doesn't fit, or they just, you know, are unable to move all that mass around if they've gotten too big. And I was going to mention, this is not just for ridden horses. A friend of mine gave me, when he was knew he was passing away from terminal cancer, gave me his little mini driving mule. Okay, and this thing is mini, just really short. But this thing would drive all over the place. He drove him all, took him to Arizona, drove him all winter. And he was just turned out because we, you know, my daughter and I just hadn't had time to start working him again. So he was our little feral mule. He loved just being a pet. He thought that was fun. So when I decided I was getting a little overweight and he was a little overweight, I decided he should go on walks with me. And so we started out and I was like, okay, he is not going to like this. He's going to be grumpy. He had so much fun. He was so happy to be out doing something, and he wasn't. We're going to start driving him again, but for the winter, he and I are going to start getting back in shape again. So, you know, it's not just talk about the fact that you don't have to ride the horse in order to have them enjoy you, you enjoy them, and get them a little exercise.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's all sorts of groundwork patterns that you can do with the horses, and you can just get them walking over poles. They don't have to be arranged in any special fashion. They can just be in a higgledy-piggledy layout that the horse has to pick its way over. And that is good for the horse physically, because it's having to use its proprioceptive senses to know where to place its feet. It's good for it physically, because it's using its body in a slightly different way than just ambling around the field. And it's engaging them mentally as well. And so I think there are all sorts of benefits of doing exercises from the ground. And you can be inventive. And if you go online, you can find other things to do as well. The sky's the limit in many respects. It's your inventiveness and your imagination in terms of what we can potentially do.
Yeah. So conversely, let's talk about, how does an owner know if a senior horse is getting too much exercise? And you mentioned this a little bit before about, you know, their disposition and how they, but some horses are so willing, they'll go and try anyway. So what should we be looking for to make sure that we're not over-exercising a senior?
Well, I think an abnormal respiratory rate, the respiratory rate being too high, and a prolonged recovery time after exercise are relative to the environmental conditions, the heat and humidity, are indicators that something may not be right. The horse's posture. You've ridden, you may still be sitting on the horse. Does the horse stand still, or does it fidget, or does it try and stand with its front limbs extended forwards and its back limbs behind it, camped out? That's reflecting the fact that the horse is not very comfortable. Or it may adopt that position when you've dismounted from the horse. And that is an indication that the horse was uncomfortable. We've probably done too much. We've aggravated something. And when we untack the horse, we need to watch its behavior again. And to check that the saddle is fitting appropriately, I think it's always worth looking underneath the saddle once you've removed it, to make sure they're not a big dry area under the front of the saddle, which may indicate that the tree points are too tight, and there's not any swellings close to the top of the midline, which may indicate that the saddle has been moving a bit and creating pressure and these soft tissue swellings that are arising. So keep checking the tack as well as the horse. I don't think many people over-exercise their horses when they're senior horses in reality, unless they get overexcited on a long ride. And then the horses are probably going to be okay, assuming we give them adequate recovery time. We have to still think about them a little bit as athletes. And when you are older, you don't recover from injury as quickly as you do when you're younger. So if the horse has had a long ride, for example, then maybe we need several easy days, and perhaps more easy days than we would have done had that horse been younger, because it just needs more recovery time to enable repair of any micro damage to occur.
And there's nothing wrong. I mean, you have talked about this before, taking horses out on a lead when you're going hacking on one of your other horses that you need to exercise. It's fine to take, as long as they're trained for it and they're happy companions and they're not going to disturb each other or you, that it's fine to take them out on a hack, just on a lead.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that to an extent, the experience of ride and lead is a bit of a lost art. Whereas when in my younger days, it was very commonplace. And I think that it is something that tends to get overlooked.
Well, and do you have any other advice that you want to share with owners of senior horses to think about when it comes to senior horse exercise? And I realize there's been all kinds of research and books and things done on this, but just maybe some final tips, Dr. Dyson.
Well, I do think just listen to your horse. You probably know your horse better than anybody, and therefore you must use your observational powers to notice change. And don't just bury your head in the sand and ignore that change. Pay attention to it. But at the same time, don't get over anxious. Some people get over anxious and they get really disturbed by that slight swelling in the fetlock region, which goes down with exercise. That probably doesn't matter. But if you've got your diary, you can write it down so you know that if it's getting progressively worse, then perhaps you do need to seek advice. So I think this diary keeping and training yourself to observe is very important.
So that's a great, great suggestion. So thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast, Dr. Dyson.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
And we encourage our listeners to sign up for our weekly newsletter to be the first to get information from myseniorhorse.com. And if you have any comments or suggestions about senior horses, ponies, donkeys, or mules that you would like to have discussed on this podcast or delved into for the content of myseniorhorse.com, send an email to me at kbrown, that's the letter K, Brown, at equinenetwork.com. Thanks for joining us today. Take care of yourselves and your senior equids.